Believers Bible Assembly is pleased to welcome you this morning to our teaching series called Searching the Scriptures. It is our prayer that many will tune in to hear this teaching from God's Word, and the Lord will open many hearts to an understanding of His Word and to His wonderful salvation. If you are enjoying and benefiting from this program, then please inform your family and friends to also listen in each week to this broadcast. At the end of the program, I will provide phone numbers for you to contact us so that you may comment or ask questions about what you have heard or if you would like some more information about our church. Now let us begin today's broadcast with some music that will help prepare our hearts for hearing God's Word. If you have a Bible handy, you may want to open and follow along with today's scripture reading. We will be reading from
Luke chapter 23. Then the whole multitude of them arose and led him to Pilate, and they began to accuse him, saying, "We found this fellow perverting the nation, and forbidding to pay taxes to Caesar, saying that he himself is Christ, a king." Then Pilate asked him, saying, "Are you the king of the Jews?" He answered him and said, "It is as you say." So Pilate said to the chief priests and the crowd, "I find no fault in this man." But they were the more fierce, saying, "He stirs up the people, teaching throughout all Judea, beginning from Galilee to this place." When Pilate heard of Galilee, he asked if the man were a Galilean. And as soon as he knew that he belonged to Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him to Herod, who was also in Jerusalem at that time. Now when Herod saw Jesus, he was exceedingly glad, for he had desired for a long time to see him, because he had heard many things about him, and he hoped to see some miracle done by him. Then he questioned him with many words, but he answered him nothing, and the chief priests and scribes stood and vehemently accused him. Then Herod, with his men of war, treated him with contempt and mocked him, arrayed him in a gorgeous robe, and sent him back to Pilate. That very day Pilate and Herod became friends with each other, for previously they had been at enmity with each other. Then Pilate, when he had called together the chief priests, the rulers, and the people, said to them, "You have brought this man to me as one who misleads the people, and indeed, having examined him in your presence, I have found no fault in this man concerning those things of which you accuse him. No, neither did Herod, for I sent you back to him, and indeed nothing deserving of death has been done by him. I will therefore chastise him and release him, for it was necessary for him to release one to them at the feast." And they all cried out at once, saying, "Away with this man, and release to us Barabbas," who had been thrown into prison for a certain rebellion made in the city, and for murder. Pilate, therefore, wishing to release Jesus, again called out to them. But they shouted, saying, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" Then he said to them the third time, "Why? What evil has he done? I have found no reason for death in him. I will therefore chastise him and let him go." But they were insistent, demanding with loud voices that he be crucified. And the voices of these men and of the chief priests prevailed. So Pilate gave sentence that it should be as they requested. And he released to them the one they requested, who for rebellion and murder had been thrown into prison. But he delivered Jesus to their will. Now as they led him away, they laid hold of a certain man, Simon, a Cyrenian, who was coming from the country. And on him they laid the cross that he might bear it after Jesus. And a great multitude of the people followed him, and women who also mourned and lamented him. But Jesus turning to them said, "Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For indeed the days are coming in which they will say, 'Blessed are the barren wombs that never bore, and breasts which never nursed.' Then they will begin to say to the mountains, 'Fall on us,' and to the hills, 'Cover us.' For if they do these things in the green wood, what will be done in the dry? There were also two others, criminals, led with him to be put to death. And when they had come to the place called Calvary, there they crucified him, and the criminals, one on the right hand, and the other on the left. Then Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. And they divided his garments and cast lots. And the people stood looking on, but even the rulers with them sneered, saying, He saved others, let him save himself, if he is the Christ, the chosen of God. The soldiers also mocked him, coming and offering him sour wine, and saying, If you are the king of the Jews, save yourself. And an inscription also was written over him in letters of Greek, Latin, and Hebrew. This is the king of the Jews. Then one of the criminals who were hanged blasphemed him, saying, If you are the Christ, save yourself and us. But the other, answering, rebuked him, saying, Do you not even fear God, seeing you are under the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong. Then he said to Jesus, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus said to him, Assuredly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. Now it was about the sixth hour, and there was darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. Then the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was torn in two. And when Jesus had cried out with a loud voice, he said, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. Having said this, he breathed his last. So when the centurion saw what had happened, he glorified God, saying, Certainly this was a righteous man. And the whole crowd who came together to that sight, seeing what had been done, beat their breasts and returned. But all his acquaintances, and the women who followed him from Galilee, stood at a distance, watching these things. Now behold, there was a man named Joseph, a council member, a good and just man. He had not consented to their decision and deed. He was from Arimathea, a city of the Jews, who himself was also waiting for the kingdom of God. This man went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Then he took it down, wrapped it in linen, and laid it in a tomb that was hewn out of the rock, where no one had ever lain before. That day was the preparation, and the Sabbath drew near. And the women who had come with him from Galilee followed after, and they observed the tomb and how his body was laid. Then they returned and prepared spices and fragrant oils, and they rested on the Sabbath according to the commandment.
Lesson 67, The Cross of Jesus. Today we are once again turning to the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, that event in history which changes everything and shall offer life and hope or death and judgment. We will consider Jesus' trial before Pilate and Herod and the hatred of the crowds, and then see how Jesus was crucified and buried. This lesson is a very sober time of reflection, and I would ask all of you to listen with great interest and concern, for your eternal soul's destiny and condition depend entirely on what transpired on the cross of Jesus. Jesus was taken before Pilate, the Roman governor, and accused of perverting the nation and claiming to be Christ, a king. Pilate questioned Jesus, and after considering Jesus' words, he tells the crowds and rulers that he cannot find any fault in Jesus. Pilate heard the crowd mention that Jesus was from Galilee, so he thought it might be best to hand the case over to Herod, a king of the Jews, but under Roman authority and overseeing the Galilean jurisdiction. Herod was very happy to see Jesus and hoped he might perform some miracle. But when Jesus refused to talk, they mocked him, put a beautiful purple robe on him, and then sent him back to Pilate. Once again, Pilate wanted to release Jesus, having found no fault in him. But the crowds cried out for the release of Barabbas, a murderer, and wanted Jesus crucified. Though Pilate tried to release Jesus, he could see that the crowds were loud and insistent, and so he finally gave way to their cries and ordered Jesus to be crucified. Large crowds followed the procession leading out of the city, and women were weeping at the sight of Jesus bleeding and condemned, though he had done nothing wrong. The scriptures reveal to us many things that took place when Jesus was crucified, including the people that were there and many of their comments, Jesus' words from the cross, and the signs that accompanied his crucifixion. It is well worth our time to consider every detail that Scripture provides us concerning his execution and those present so that the Holy Spirit can teach us, humble us, and call us to faith in Christ. Though other details are mentioned by the other gospel writers, Luke provides us with 15 important details that took place at the cross. Number 1, Jesus prayed, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." 2, the crowds gather to watch. 3, rulers sneer at him and say, "He saved others, let him save himself if he is the Christ, the chosen of God." 4, the soldiers mocked him, offering him sour wine, saying, "If you are the king of the Jews, save yourself." 5, the inscription is written in Greek, Latin, and Hebrew and nailed to the cross, "This is the king of the Jews." 6, one criminal blasphemes and says, "If you are the Christ, save yourself and us." 7, the other criminal rebukes him, saying, "Do you not fear God, since you are under the same condemnation?" Number 8, this other criminal asks Jesus to remember him when he comes into his kingdom. 9, Jesus assures this man he would be in paradise with him that day. 10, darkness covers the earth from noon to 3 p.m. The sun is darkened and the temple veil is torn in two. 11, Jesus cries with a loud voice, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit," and breathes his last. 12, the centurion saw what happened and said, "Certainly this was a righteous man." 13, the crowds beat their breast and returned, but acquaintances and women look on from a distance. 14, Joseph of Arimathea requests the body of Jesus for burial and is granted his request. 15, Joseph takes down the body of Jesus, wraps it in linen, and laid it in a tomb hewn out of rock. We do not have time to consider all of these details, but do notice that 3 times Jesus is called upon to save himself by the Jews, by the Romans, and by one of the criminals. Most everyone around the cross thought it would be best for Jesus to save himself if he had the power to do so. I believe we would all avoid death if we had the power to escape it. The unbelieving crowds thought if Jesus could save himself, then they would believe in him. Jesus had power to save his own life, but knew that these unbelieving and cruel people would not believe even if he came down from the cross with miraculous power. He had performed countless miracles already. The unbelieving crowds thought if Jesus could save himself, then they would believe in him. Jesus had power to save his own life, but knew that these unbelieving and cruel people would not believe even if he came down from the cross with miraculous power. He had performed countless miracles already, but they stubbornly refused to believe in him. There was a sense in which Jesus had power to save himself, but another sense in which he did not, for he was compelled by the love of God and obedience to accomplish this sacrifice so that God could forgive our sins. We also have power to choose for ourselves whether we will give our lives and hearts to Jesus in faith. His sacrifice and love should compel us to do so. What will you choose to do after considering Jesus' death on the cross for you? Will you turn away like the crowds did, or will you yield up yourself to him in faith and cry out like the thief, "Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom"? It appears that not only did the criminal find salvation through his faith in Jesus, but also the centurion who witnessed Jesus' death said, "Truly, this was a righteous man." After Jesus died, a kind man named Joseph provided a decent burial for Jesus And his friends watched carefully where his body was laid, so they could anoint his body with spices and oils after the Sabbath day. Will you honor this man? Will you show kindness and love to him? Will you call him Lord? That at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Philippians chapter 2, verses 10 and 11.
Like drops of grief can men repay the debt of love I owe. Here, Lord, I give myself away. 'Tis all that I can do. At the cross, at the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day.
And now for today's Bible question. Today we have been to the cross where Jesus was crucified and considered the various people and details that surrounded that awful scene of suffering. We saw him rejected, despised, forsaken, cast out, mocked, shamed, and tortured. All this done to a man who was said to have no fault. The Roman governor who ordered his execution, the dying criminal beside him, and the centurion in charge of the crucifixion all claimed Jesus had done nothing wrong and was a righteous man. Someone might ask the question, why do righteous people suffer? It would seem to us that righteous people should not have to suffer. We tend to think that when bad things happen to people, they must have done something wrong and God is punishing them, or Satan is permitted to attack them or make them sick. This philosophy of the righteous being exempt from pain and suffering certainly is not taught in the Bible, but is a clever delusion of Satan to distort our thinking and harm our faith and our trust in God. Throughout the Bible, we see how righteous people suffer. God often uses the pathway of suffering to accomplish his purposes in the lives of those whom he loves. There are so many examples of this in the Bible, but just consider these examples. Jacob lost his wife Rachel as she was giving birth to her second son Benjamin. Jacob was a righteous man, but God allowed him to suffer the loss of his beloved wife. Joseph was the son of Jacob and was a God-fearing young man, but was sold into slavery by his brothers, was falsely accused and put in prison for a long time. These hardships certainly were not because Joseph was evil, but God used it in Joseph's life to bring about blessing to many people. Then there's the story of Job, who lost all of his property and all of his children and became intensely sick with disease. Yet the Bible says Job was a righteous man. God allows us to see behind the scenes, and we learn that God allowed Satan to attack Job in every way to test his faith. God was vindicated by Job's faith and was greatly blessed by God because of his willingness to accept the pain and loss and still praise his God. When you suffer, can you accept that it is God's will for you? Can you praise God that he is permitting you suffering for your own good purposes, even when you may not see or understand those purposes? Suffering results from the consequences of sin in the world and can afflict righteous people, not necessarily for any sin in themselves, but simply because sin has taken its toll on all of humanity and because of our rebellion against God. God does not promise us a shelter from suffering, even when we love him with all of our hearts. In fact, it is often God's means to create a greater faith and obedience in his children. If our love for God were dependent on our being in comfort and prosperity, then our love would be shallow and insincere. However, if we can still trust God and give glory to His name when we are suffering, then we prove our love and faith to be sincere, and this brings glory to God. When Jesus died on the cross, He did so not because of any wrong He had ever done, for He was perfectly sinless. He died out of love for you and I, and to pay for our sins. He willingly entered into suffering for our benefit. The Bible tells us that it pleased the Lord to bruise Him. Not that God enjoys inflicting pain and suffering, but it was the means of bringing many sons to glory. It was the means for you and me to be saved and go to heaven. It was the means for God's love to be manifest in the most powerful way, so that the whole world would know that our God is a God of great love and compassion. He wants us to respond to His love by trusting in Jesus as our Savior. Yes, the righteous suffer, and God uses that for our good. If you or a loved one is going through a time of suffering, then just remember Jesus' suffering on the cross was the way of spiritual blessing for many. Cling to God in faith and try to accept that God often permits suffering for our good, even when we cannot understand it. I implore all to trust in Jesus Christ as their Savior and look to Him upon the cross with eyes of faith and with eyes of love and sorrow. Is it nothing to you, all ye that pass by? Behold and see if there be any sorrow like unto my sorrow, which is done unto me, wherewith the Lord hath afflicted me in the day of His fierce anger. Lamentations chapter 1, verse 12. Just before we conclude today's broadcast, we want our listeners to be aware of our Emmaus Bible courses that we are making available. These courses are from Emmaus Bible College in the USA. There are 12 courses in the first series and also 12 in the second series. These courses begin with the basic teachings of Christianity and move on to more advanced doctrinal studies in subjects such as biblical marriage, the New Testament Church, and Evangelism. If you should be interested in becoming a student of these courses, or feel that you could use these materials to help others grow in their Christian walk, then please feel free to contact us and we will provide the information needed to get you started. You may phone Shadrach in Kumasi at 024-442-1948. Or, if you have access to the Internet, please visit our website at www.BibleAssemblyChurch.com, where you will find details about the Emmaus courses and a student registration form that you can download and use to register as an Emmaus student. Jesus saw me when a stranger, wandering from the full of God. To rescue me from danger, interposed His precious blood. Unto grace how great a debtor, daily I'm constrained to be. Let Thy goodness like a banner bind my wandering heart to Thee. Won't you If you want to become a true born-again Christian, here is what you must do. 1. Admit that you are a sinner. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." 2. Realize that God hates your sin and must judge it. Romans 6:23 says, "The wages of sin is death," and this means eternal separation from God. 3. Realize that God loves you and does not want you to perish. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. 4. Realize that Jesus paid your debt of sin for you. 1 Peter 3:18 says, "For Christ also suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive by the Spirit." 5. Accept God's free gift of eternal life by faith. John chapter 1 verse 12 says, "But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become the children of God, to those who believe in his name." And also in Romans chapter 10 verse 9 it says, "That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved." And number 6, also be assured that your salvation is through Christ alone and not your works. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9 say, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast." If you would like to receive God's free gift of eternal life right now, you may by a simple prayer made to God in faith. You could pray like this: "Dear Lord Jesus, I know that I am a sinner and that I deserve God's judgment. I do not want to have to face that judgment, but I want to be saved and go to heaven. So please forgive me of my sins and come into my life now to be my Lord and Savior. Thank you for dying for my sins, and I thank you for the free gift of eternal life." If you have prayed this and believed with all your heart in Jesus as your Savior, then the Word of God assures you that you have been saved. It is not based on how you feel, but on your trust in the Lord Jesus. Thank you for listening to today's lesson. If you have any questions or comments for us, or you would like more information about God's way of salvation, or about our church, then please contact us. You may call Daniel at 024-325-1081, or if you prefer to speak Chi, then you may call Shadrach at 024-442-1948. Again, those numbers are Daniel at 024-325-1081, or for Chi, call Shadrach at 024-442-1948. The Believer's Bible Assembly is a non-denominational church believing and practicing the teachings of the New Testament. Please tune in to this broadcast each Sunday morning at this time. Until next time, may the Lord bless you. So